You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, today I am joined by the host of Locked On Twins. It's getting interesting in Twins, Twinkie Town. Is that a thing that they call you guys?
Well,
is that just the national media? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll take that.
It's Nash Walker.
It's Mini that I have a problem with. We're not in Mini, Jason. I really don't like up in Mini. You know, we just don't say that. And people who are not, it's like Chi-Town. You know, people say Chi-Town, but people from Chicago don't really say Chi-Town. So that's the only one I have a gripe with.
Frisco is one that we get in the Bay Area a lot. San Fran is borderline. There is some interesting ones that you're like, hey, we're just going to nickname this city that we've never been to. I'm like, don't do that, please. Yeah, stop that. All right. So let's talk about just potential trade targets from the Twins. It has been reported in The Athletic, and also I've heard it for myself, that the Minnesota Twins have been scouting the Lansing Lugnuts. I assume that that would be a Nelson Cruz-led trade from your standpoint. What are the odds that he is going to get traded? I think that they're fairly high. And what do you think that the Twins would be in the market for in return for Nelson Cruz?
Yeah, it's really difficult, Jason, because Nelly, like, as even people are outside of Twins fandom and outside of the organization, I think, too, like, see what an impact he's had on the team over the last 3 years and how much of a leader is. I mean, you see him tonight at the All-Star game. Just like unbelievable. He's talking to everyone. They said he's done more interviews than, like, he's such a great hitter, obviously, but like the impact, he won the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award. Like, he's been such a leader for so many guys in that clubhouse, and he won Star Tribune Sports Person of the Year in Minnesota in 2019. Like, he has almost taken the city under his wing, like taken the sports town under his wing over the last 3 years. Like, just such a favorite of this city. Like, we just love Nelson Cruz and what he's brought. So it's hard to talk about, honestly, because he's so beloved and it's difficult, but I think 100% he will be dealt. And I think it's mutually beneficial for both sides. It doesn't make sense to have him here anymore, unfortunately. And honestly, like, it comes down to how many teams in the American League need a DH, you know, how many could use Nelson Cruz. And you look at the numbers this year, it's the same old Nelson Cruz. You know, he's one of the best hitters in the American League. I can attest, the eye test checks out. He's amazing. I mean, he's just amazing. The power, the clutch ability, like hitting in huge spots. He just does it all. And I think it does come down to a couple of teams. I think it's Tampa. I think it's Oakland and potentially Toronto, although, you know, they have so many right-handed bats in that lineup. Almost every other contender has a DH. And then you look at the White Sox, and I think Eloy's going to play DH when he comes back. And also, no chance will the Twins trade Nelson Cruz to the White Sox. But yes, I think it's 100%.
Do you think that they're looking for more of like a lottery pick where it's like guy with super flashy tools that hasn't put it together yet? Or I had a Twins fan DM me and was like, hey, what about Lazaro Armenteros? Would that be a good trade? I'm like, I mean, if you want him, sure. He strikes out like 40% of the time and he's still in just high A right now. After, you know, he had a good first month of the season down in Stockton, then he got promoted, but his BABIP was very, very high in Stockton. He has tools to dream on, but he is years away from being potentially able to contribute at the major league level. If you want somebody like that, sure. But I think that there's safer bets that have maybe not as high of a ceiling, but what are you thinking the Twins may be after?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, it's difficult because it's the same way that Nelson, I mean, this offseason, right? There's just so few teams that you limit to the American League, then you limit to contenders, then you limit to contenders without a DH. You know, it's like there's so many things that would prevent him from moving. Just like there's not a lot of teams, and there are teams there. Like, I think Oakland's the clear fit for him. I mean, I think it makes a ton of sense, and you can, I mean, you know better than I do with the situation there at DH, but just to add him to the middle of that lineup, I think, like, just right in the middle of like Olsen and Chapman, I think would be, it'd be unbelievable. I mean, I think he'd be great there, but the Twins, I mean, they need pitching, you know, they need, I think teams are hesitant to trade pitching that's close to the majors, of course. But I think like higher upside pitching, and I don't think anyone expects to get even like a top 10 prospect for Nelson Cruz, like a top 10 prospect in an organization, because he's owed a lot of money. He's 41 years old. He's a rental. He's a DH. I think that there's a lot of realities there, but he still crushes the baseball. So they're going to get something for him. But like, is there anyone that comes to mind for you, like a young, and I think the Oakland actually claimed, I want to say they claimed Dakota Chalmers. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I know the Cubs did. He might've been waived and claimed, but he's a guy who throws like 97, but he doesn't know where it's going. Like that. It would be someone like that. I think that the Twins would take a flyer on and feel like they could adjust. Does anyone come to mind, like in the lower minors for you?
There was, if they're doing like a roster crunch thing, cause they're going to have some Rule 5 eligible guys. If it's a roster crunch thing, maybe they trade somebody in the higher minors, but, Weisenberger has been solid. He got, he's actually been good though. He has nice strikeout numbers, nice walk numbers. He's a pitcher. And there's also, McIntyre. He also got promoted, up to Midland. He same thing, nice strikeout numbers, low walk rate. And then, Jordan Diaz is a nice bat. I don't know that they would move him for a, you know, another bat in a rental. He might be more of a, let's put together a package to go get somebody like Craig Kimbrell maybe. But they've got, the A's have plenty of pitching. I was talking to the Lansing Lugnuts, play-by-play or broadcaster, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, the A's affiliate down there in the High A Central. And he says that the difference between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Oakland Athletics is the A's have so much pitching. Mm-hmm. They're just built on pitching. They got guys that can go deep into games, even at this level. And that's what you're looking for at this level, is consistency and getting deep into games, because that means that you're being effective with your pitches. So there's a number of guys, but those are the ones that stand out to me as good players, because I look at strikeouts and walks, and that's all that I really get a chance to see, because I'm scouting the stat line.
Yeah. I mean, I just think with the AL West and with Houston and the offense that they have, I think it's going to be a race. I mean, it's going to be a race for the rest of the year. And I think avoiding that wild card game, as we know, is such a priority. And also, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the East. You know, I don't know what's going to end up happening out there and how that's going to shake out. I think the Red Sox, I don't think they have the pitching to stay up there. And Tampa lost Glasnow. Like, I think it's weaker than it was even 3 weeks ago, you know? So to avoid that wild card game for Oakland, I think this is a huge opportunity for them at the deadline to try to win the West and really just get straight to the ALDS, you know? And that gives you such a better chance to go. Then you avoid that one seed, if it's the White Sox or whoever, or if it's, you know, even Houston at that point, if they're in the wild card game. But I think adding Nelly, like, it just would add a whole nother dimension. Would you agree with that?
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" on their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
I think so, yes. I think that they need to make a move, and Nelson Cruz has been bandied about for weeks now. He's the target that A's fans want, because Mitch Moreland hasn't been great. Mitch Moreland is also on the IL for some reason, and we don't know what it is. I don't know if that is, you know, COVID-related, or if that is they wanted to replace him. He's like, no, I don't know. Yeah. So it is very, very strange. It seems like it's probably, you know, health related or, you know, family related or something like that. He seems like a nice guy, but I feel like they're getting ready to make that move at DH, and Nelson Cruz is obviously the best of the bunch that they could go after. Maybe they could go after, you know, a right fielder that could also DH and split time with Mitch Moreland. Cause if you bring in Nelson Cruz, then you kind of got to get rid of Mitch Moreland somewhere. And he has a few more options because he can still play a very, very solid first base. So they could move him to a National League club. Maybe he goes back to San Diego because, you know, they could use a first baseman or something like that. I don't know. They're always doing weird things.
Someone other than Hosmer. No, I like Mitch a lot, but also it's important to mention, like, Nelly will have, he's 41. I mean, he's amazing, but he has a sore knee. You know, he's got a sore back, or he's got a sore neck. Like, those things happen for him. And he's like, he's obviously super reliable, but he's the age that, I mean, he's 41, you know, that it happens where he needs those off days. And like, you could sit him against a tough righty and play Moreland. Like, I could see that happening, but at the, you don't want to keep Mitch Moreland on the roster. Just like,
you don't want to have two basically DH guys on your roster eating up spots. Exactly, and because a team like the A's or the Rays, they're matchup based, and you have guys that could do. And I like having Mitch Moreland. Like, if anything, God forbid, happened to Matt Olson, he'd be the first baseman. Yep. I mean, he was when Olson missed a few days, he was the first baseman. He played fine. He was great defensively. You want a little bit more out of that bat. And I think that if you put him in the better situations, if he's at least league average, because that's really how good teams are built, is as many league average bats as you can get into a lineup on a daily basis. Then you have a couple of stars and then you go from there and then you compete. That's what the Astros were doing when they first started getting into contention, is just having nine guys that could hit like, not, you know, be superstars, not nine Mike Trouts, but nine guys that, you know, are better than Jake Marisak, but, you know, guys that do certain things and having those holes filled. And I think that this is the year that if the A's were going to go and push some chips in, they can go, because there's not that team that is just standing out right now. No. The White Sox are the one that scares me.
Yeah.
And also the Astros, because of everything about the Astros, but the White Sox have all of the pitching and all of that hitting, and they got Eloy Jimenez coming back. They've got Luis Robert coming back at some point. They're the team that scares me. The Astros, their pitching isn't quite where I think the White Sox is. So, and I think that the offenses are comparable. So you got to go out and do what you can.
Well, I just think about a top five. I mean, think about Laureano and Canna and Olson and Chapman and Cruz. Like, I mean, that's a top five that rivals any at that point, you know. And Nelly, like, it's so crazy. Like, my buddy said to me, we were talking about Nelly once. He's like, does Nelly just hit a homer every night when you watch? And it's like, it's honestly like you're just adding like a 950 OPS into the middle of your lineup. It's like just what you're doing. Like, you're just adding that right into the middle of the lineup. And that's so valuable. But it is interesting for teams like the Rays and A's, as you mentioned, with the DHL, they like to funnel, you know, they like to play those matchups. But there is some solidarity and there's some confidence in that. Just, you slot him in at DH every day. Like, you know, he's going to hit. You just slot him in the middle of your lineup. And it's like such a good feeling when he's at the plate. And I'm telling you, he hasn't slowed down a bit. I mean, you look at, there were questions early on this season. It's like, okay, it's happening, because he was a little slow in May, but the weather warmed up. And I mean, he's been amazing. Like, since May 1st, he's been amazing, but especially in June was just outstanding. I mean, amazing since June 1st, the same Nelly we've known for 3 years. And again, it's going to suck, but the A's are getting a leader too. You know, he's been there. He's a legendary slugger. Like, he would fit in perfectly there. And I don't think there's a better spot for him to go. Jason, if they were to push all the chips in potentially, or really go for it, who else are you thinking about prying away from the Minnesota Twins?
I mean, Taylor Rogers is the guy. He would be the other guy for me, because they could use some bullpen help for sure. They've got some decent guys right now and they're getting a little bit more healthy, but they're going to need to make one move for sure, whether that's Kimbrel or Rogers. They need another lefty for sure. So maybe Rogers would be the one that you want to go after. But they're going to need one, if not two arms, just to make everything a little bit better. Because one thing that I think that the A's are having a hard time with is when they are down by a run or two and then they turn to their quote unquote bad bullpen that, you know, could give up some runs, the offense just stops scoring and they're not doing it. But if you have guys that are more shut down, or you move Lou Trevino or Jake Diekman into the sixth or the seventh inning, then you're like, okay, we still got a shot in this game. No matter what we do, if we score a couple of runs, they're not going to give up a couple of runs. Right. We got a shot in this game. And I think that that is just a mental thing that is not being taken into account when you're like, oh, we got the good bullpen, the bad bullpen. If you have all good bullpen, all of a sudden they're going to be much more competitive. So what would it take to get both of those guys from your beloved Minnesota Twins?
Yeah. I mean, I think Raj is interesting too, because he's really the only reliable arm that they have. I mean, their bullpen's been a disaster all year. Duffy's been better lately, but Raj is the one guy, even the last, like, and their bullpen was great in last year in the shortened season. Their bullpen was really good in the second half of 2019. But the first half of 2019, the beginning of the offensive explosion, it was like Raj and everybody else. It was like two inning saves. It felt like every other night for him. Like, they just brought him in the eighth and like finished the game, because there's the only guy they could count on. But 96, 97 with the sinker, outstanding command. The slider's back up this year. He was bad last year, just from like an ERA standpoint, but you look at the FIP and you look at the, you know, batting average, balls in play. And he, I can tell you, it was bad luck for him last year. His balls were finding holes. But there was some, there were problems there with his slider. It wasn't as hard last year, but he's picked that right back up. And two elite pitches, one of the best. I mean, there's maybe two, not right now with Aroldis, but maybe two relievers in the entire game who I think are better against a left-handed hitter than Taylor Rogers, and it's Josh Hader and Aroldis Chapman. Like, I think Rogers number three. And I think he, I mean, he said before, like, I think I'm the best in the world against left-handed pitchers. Like, you just see him, he throws that slider down and away. I think he's gotten Olsen maybe a couple times on it. slider down and away, and he just spots it, man. Like, it's just beautiful. The way he eats up lefties, and he's just a matchup nightmare for them. But he can get righties out too, you know, and I think the Twins, and I think the A's are this way too, especially now that Rosenthal is out for the year, of like, Trevino's going to close some games. Wendelken is healthy, correct?
Yes, he just came back. And the bullpen's looked a little bit better since he came back because people are in their roles again, you know?
Yeah, but you can – so you can go – like, it gives you this opportunity like the Twins have done. Like, if you have, for example, like Brantley and Jordan coming up for the Astros, like, you can go to Rogers instead of Trevino in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's going to give you a really good chance to win because he's so good against those lefties. And you can mix and match, and it gives you that flexibility. If you have Trevino, and I love Lou Trevino, I think he's great. If you have him and Raj on the back end, it allows you to do a lot of different things. And then you have Wendelken, you have Diekman that you can even pitch in the sixth or seventh inning. It gives you a lot of flexibility in that way. It'll be interesting because if they do make him available, I mean, a lot of teams are going to come calling. Like, a lot of contenders could use a left-handed reliever, but he's under contract for next year. He's probably going to be $7-8 million next year. Like, I think about that for the A's too, if that's something they'd pull the trigger on for next year as well. It'd be interesting if he was a free agent after this year. I mean, he'd be gone, but it'd be interesting if the A's like would really pull the trigger on that. You know, I wonder if that would be something that would stop them. Do you think it would be that he's under contract for next year? Is that a positive? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On.
Yes and no. They have a lot of guys in the bullpen right now that are on one-year deals. So they had to rebuild the bullpen in the offseason, this past offseason, and looks like they're going to have to do a decent amount of that again this coming offseason. What they could do potentially, and I know that it would be a couple $1 million more, but they have Jake Diekman under contract or team option or something like that for like $4.5 million for next year. Mm. They could, you know, get rid of him and replace him with Taylor Rogers if they wanted to.
For like $3 million.
It wouldn't be as big of an expenditure to get Taylor Rogers there. Obviously, you would like both of those guys, but I think that Taylor Rogers is a little bit more effective and in the zone and more reliable than Jake Diekman. Jake Diekman had a fantastic 2020, and he's, for the most part, good, but every now and then
stuff.
He is just maddening to watch because you don't know where the ball's going.
Yeah.
And that's a little terrifying. And that's, you know, with or without sticky stuff, that it's just always been the same thing.
It's funny because if you watch Taylor Rogers, if he ends up being an A or whatever, you watch him, it's the opposite. When Raj gets beat, it's because he's throwing too many strikes. Like, his command is too good. Like, it's too many strikes that are in the heart of the zone, you know, and he doesn't, I don't think he has the stuff quite like Diekman does. And the arm slot for Diekman stuff too. But I think that's when you see Raj get beat. But when he's spotting it up, like, he's so tough to hit. I think for the Twins, they have to think about, I mean, it's just going to come down to the question of, do we think we can compete next year? That's what they just have to ask themselves. And if they come to the answer of no, then yes, you trade Taylor Rogers, in my opinion. Then, you know, you look into trading him, because I think they could get a decent haul for him at this point from a contender that like the A's, who could really use him in the back of their bullpen. It's hard because I don't know the farm system like you do. You know, I don't know the A's farm system, but again, like it's about the young arms, and it just feels like it's a good match because, as you said, the A's have so many good, you know, young pitchers in the farm system that could help the Twins. And I do think it's a good match, and that would be an interesting package too. I wonder if the Twins would think they could get more if they separated them, but maybe not, you know, maybe packaging Nelly and Raj to Oakland. There's a couple of teams, Jason, where like, I'd be happy to see these guys go. And I'm not just saying this cause I'm talking to you. Oakland would be one of them. It'd be like, yes, the A's, the Rays and the Jays. And those are the matchups. Like that's where Nelly could go or Raj could go, you know? And I love that.
They're all fairly lovable teams. Like the Jays, how do you not like the Toronto Blue Jays right now? They're just a bunch of fun guys. And also Marcus Semien's over there, and he's great. Marcus, and the Twins, are very similar to the A's. If you like one, you like the other, basically. Yeah. So
Marcus Semien, I want to touch on him because he might be – I mean, he's not a surprise of the first half for me, but, I mean, he's bounced back. He's 2019 Marcus Semien, is he not?
He's been really, really good. Yeah, and A's really fans good. Are, you know, very much sour grapes about why didn't we re-sign him. And for the money that he signed for, and maybe it's because I've been indoctrinated into A's front office thinking, but for $19 million and what the A's payroll generally is, that is a big question mark. That
no chance.
Was 2020 the real thing, or was 2019 the real thing? And was it 2020 and everything else before 2019 the real thing? Or that's a very, very big question mark that you have. And also he's in the Toronto lineup, which is arguably a much better lineup than the A's lineup. So how much is that helping those numbers playing in a AAA ballpark?
Yep.
Things like this. So there is some pushback that you can have to the numbers that he's putting up, but obviously I'm rooting for the guy. I just don't know that at $19 million that would have been the right move for the A's. And they offered him 12, and obviously it was a joke contract because it was like $2 million up front and then $1 million over the next 10 years deferred. Yeah. And that's ridiculous. But would he have signed if it was $12 million up front? Because that's more in the A's range generally. They don't pay a lot of guys $19 million a year. They actually signed Chris Davis for $16.7 million and, you know, for a few years. And they're like, he doesn't got it anymore.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to have those black holes on their roster. So they got to be a little bit more frugal with their money. And maybe one of these days they'll start spending a little bit more money. But if the A's are going to have like $100 million payroll, which they don't right now, it's under $100 million. Do you want to have a 20%, somebody taking up 20% of your payroll being a question mark where you don't necessarily know what you're going to get? And I think that the answer is no. So I understand the reasoning. Obviously you want him on your team, but I get it at the same time, you know. And Elmas Andrus was not great for the first month and a half of the season, but he's been picking it up. He's got a couple of home runs, and he's also just the most fun-loving guy. So I like having him on the team. If the A's were rebuilding, I think that Elmas Andrus would be beloved in Oakland. But because we are so close to contention and, you know, fighting it out with the Astros and not beating the Astros, you're like, Elmas Andrus,
But
I think that he's doing okay.
Yeah.
I do have one question, though, and that is, AJ Puck, he has not been able to stay healthy for most seasons. He's been healthy this year, but he's been down in AAA, and obviously AAA, the AAA West is just a bandbox. Everything gets hit out. If it's a pop fly, it's a home run. And he has not been pitching terribly well, but he is also rookie eligible still. So would that be something that would entice the Minnesota Twins, somebody with that much pedigree, in a potential package with the A's? Because if they do end up trading Jose Barrios, AJ Puck would be a nice number two or three starter, or even if they don't trade Barrios, nice two or three starter for the Twins coming up.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too, cause I look at that A's rotation and I think it's Caprellian. Is it James Caprellian? He's been really good. And Bassett's obviously been great, and Montas and Manaea. It's stabilized, but I mean, everyone could use another starter, you know, everyone could use that. And Jose start a playoff game for the A's for sure. Or could, if they ask him to, you know. I think, yes, you're right. I think you're right on the money, because when I've talked about Jose and the Twins trading him, of course, I'm like, it's got to be a big package, as we say with all these guys. But he's under control for next year, not that expensive next year before free agency. So not only are you getting him for this playoff push, but you're getting him for a whole nother season. But it would be someone like that. And I mean, I've been, maybe it's ridiculous of me, but I've said like someone like Nate Pearson, who's had a lot of health issues, but the raw stuff is probably the best in the minor leagues, you know, like someone like that who is a, like a team maybe wants to move on from and the Twins would take a chance on. Like it would be part of a package for someone like that. Or like even like Mackenzie Gore's had a terrible year in the minors for the Padres and they could package him. And, you know, it's stuff like that where I'm like, don't do it unless you get a deal like that, mm-hmm. you know? And I think Puck's another guy you throw into that mix is like the sheer pedigree, the stuff, like it's all there, but it just hasn't come together because of injury, because of just ineffectiveness or whatever. And it hasn't come together, but you take that risk because it's young, controllable starting pitching and it's so valuable. I think that's what they would do. I think they would do something like that if they were to move Jose Berríos. I'd be really surprised if they did move him. I think I would be more surprised than a lot of people, but the most you're going to get is right now. Certainly the most you're going to get for Jose Berríos is right now. Where would you put the A's need for starting pitching on like the hierarchy?
I think that they're pretty decent. Like, do I want Cole Irvin starting a game? Not necessarily, but he's also a very effective guy. He could be great out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
He's been good in the bullpen in the past. But I think that if you're having three starting pitchers, you probably go Bassett, Manaea, and Caprillion, because Caprillion thrives in big games. You know, he made his starting pitching debut in Boston, was fantastic. He got into some trouble in the first, got out of it, and then he was just nails the rest of the way. He pitched in Yankee Stadium, was also fantastic there. He's great in big games. I think he's a big game guy. His second start was in Anaheim, not, you know, the biggest stage, but he grew up like 20 minutes away from Angel Stadium, and he again dominated the Los Angeles Angels. So when the lights are on him, he shines, and I think that he's going to be a fantastic pitcher in the postseason. And maybe the A's get something out of Jesus Luzardo too. Mm-hmm. He's a huge wild card for the second half for the A's, and I'm intrigued to see what happens there. But could they use Berríos? I mean, maybe, but I don't know that they need Berríos. But I think that if the A's are going to trade AJ Puck, it's going to be to go get somebody like Jose Berríos, or probably not Kimbrel, because he's, you know, a reliever and they can just find relievers or wherever, but he does have a nice little track record as well. But if they're going to trade AJ Puck, which I think that they would be okay with in the right deal, it would have to be for like either a guy with control or a guy that is going to really push some chips into the middle for this season. And they also have some shorts. They have three fantastic defensive shortstops in Midland right now. One of them is Nick Allen, who's probably not going to be on the trade block because he's in the A's long-term future once Elvis Andrus is, or maybe even next year with Elvis Andrus on the roster, depending on whether or not they can move him. And then they've got Greg Dykeman and Luis Barrera as two very, very solid outfield prospects that they got in the minors. Maybe they aren't able to re-sign Mark Canha. I think that Mark Canha would sign with the A's if they offered him, you know, 12 a year or something like that. Cause he's worth 12. Yeah. It'd be a little bit less than Michael Brantley, who was always the comp for me with Mark Canha. I know that his numbers aren't necessarily as pretty. He doesn't hit 330.
Great on base.
He hits 260 with a 385, 390 on base. So he's right in that realm. He has more power. Yeah.
No, I think Mark Canha is your typical underrated Oakland A. Like, I just think, you know, you just put him into the pile. There's a lot of them, you know, and some of them have come up. And sometimes you can be so underrated that you become overrated. I don't think that's happened with many A's, but I think it's good to see like Matt Olson come in the limelight a little bit over the last couple of years. And even he needs a little bit more. I agree. Like, there still needs to be some more recognition there. But I think Mark Canha is another guy. Like, my dad and I were talking, the A's are at Target Field. It was like a month ago, 2 months ago. We're talking about
those Canha. Were some games.
Yeah, they were. We were talking about Canha and just like the on base ability. And he's just a ball player. He's a winning ball player. You know, he plays some left field and is really good.
Play center too.
Play center. Yeah, he's a really he's a good ball player. But Jason, I hope Nelson Cruz ends up there. If he is moved, I hope it's to Oakland. And we'll see what happens. I think I have a feeling we're gonna connect because I think this is gonna happen. And I have a feeling like we'll connect.
Got to.
Yeah, I think we're going to be connecting, and you know, we'll see what the deal is then, and we'll break it down then.